Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. First Wednesday of the month, we're on Zoom in Columbus with Mayor Jim Lenape. Hello and welcome.
Hello, Joe. Good to see you again.
Hey, are the leaves starting to turn there yet?
The leaves are turning and they're falling. It's been so dry that I don't know how much color we're going to get this year, but yes, the leaves are turning. And one of the things I noticed in the neighborhood I live in, there are a lot of walnut trees, and so walnuts are typically the first to drop their leaves. They also drop walnuts, and when those things hit the pavement. You wonder what neighborhood you're living in. Glad I wasn't there when it fell, but yeah, the leaves are turning and it's going to be pretty, but it is dry.
Yeah. I was going to mention too, I'm reading more and more and seeing more in my news feeds about asking people if they don't mind the clutter to leave leaves in the yard. What are the city or what does the city do for leaf collection or leaf pickup? And does anything change this year?
Well, it's not going to change here. I understand it's going to change in Bloomington, but here we will start about the middle of October. I want to say October 16th is a Monday, and then we will run until I'll say about December 16th, which should be a Friday. We will do weekly leaf collection. We've got some leaf sucker upper apparatus, if that's a phrase, and we just ask people to get their leaves to the curb. And we'll come along and dispose of them for you. In the neighborhood I live in, we do not have curbs, so you just sort of put them on the grass there near the roadway. In the rest of the community, there are curbs. There are a lot of other places, and we ask people to keep the leaves out of the gutters because if you put them in there, they tend to get into the sewers, the stormwater drainage, and they'll not only plug it up down below, but they'll plug up the surface drains, and so you can get some minor flooding if you get a heavy rainstorm. So just want people to put the leaves on the grass, and we'll come by and pick them up, take them out to the recycling center, and turn them into mulch.
All right, well, also October is known for budgets, budget approval. Is the hard part over or is it yet to begin?
Well, we'll let you know a little bit more about that, say 7:30 this evening. We have, we start our budget process. Seriously, we start in May. Yeah, I mean, it's a really long, lengthy, involved process where we, poll the various departments that we have here at the city and try to determine what their needs are, both for personnel and for capital. And then we try to, distill that into a proposal. That proposal was put forward at what we call budget hearings, which happened back in August. We presented to the city council what I guess you would call the mayor's proposed budget, but we're also really preparing it, presenting it to the community. I mean, that whole notion of a hearing is to allow the public to hear what it is that the administration might choose to do. And at the same time, we present that to the council so they can get a first look at what's coming down. And begin to ask questions because they're it's important for them to understand what it is that we propose to do in order to be able to vote for it or against it, if the case may be. But more likely, what happens or what's happened this year is they've indicated to us, things they like and things they don't like, and then things they would like to see. And so we've had a little few back and forth with some of the individual council members, and I think we put together a proposal that will pass this evening, but you don't know till you know. So we'll hold our well, I'm not going to hold my breath, but there's a long ways, but we'll wait till this evening to see how it goes. But I like I say, we've got about $12 million worth of capital expenditures. That includes some new equipment for the fire department and the Department of Public Works for the police department. We've got some significant salary adjustments, particularly for our first responders. We find ourselves in a situation where we are compelled or feel compelled to respond to what the Indiana State Legislature did with respect to the Indiana State Police. And so we will be requesting council to approve a 16.5% raise for our sworn officers. We are in a similar situation with respect to firefighters. Our firefighters, the state of Indiana, excuse me, state doesn't have a fire department. So we really don't have a an analogous situation there, but we are affected pretty significantly by what happens in Indianapolis Fire and by extension the Johnson County fire departments, fire districts, and those have also experienced a significant rise in wages. So for the firefighters, I think we're looking at 13.9, almost 14% increase, and these are numbers that are just unprecedented, just unheard of in municipal government. I mean, we typically give raises that are in the low single digits in terms of a percentage, but we want to be able to maintain, some comparability to those people who we compete with personnel, or who we compete with for personnel, and so we feel compelled to respond. For police and fire, the remainder of city employees, we're looking at 5% raise for them, and then really the math on that kind of comes from last year. We saw an 8% increase in the CPI, Consumer Price Index. This and we gave 6% to non-sworn employees last year. So I felt like we were a couple points behind, but that was the best we could do at the time. This year, we're looking at maybe a 3% or 3.5% CPI year to date, and we're proposing 5, which is a couple points above, but sort of what we need to do to try to catch up with last year. So those are big drivers for the budget that we'll propose, as well as health insurance. The cost of health insurance for standard family is just continues to grow. And so we have to maintain, some kind of pace with that. And we've got a few tweaks that we put together with respect to the plan that we offer. We're trying to encourage our employees to switch from a PPO or preferred provider organization or operation, if that's the right phrase, to HDHP, which is a high deductible healthcare plan. And we believe that long term, that will help us minimize the healthcare costs for the city. But we want to give some incentives to get people to make that switch because it's an individual's choice, the way we've got this worked out. At the same time, we are proposing a clinic modeled sort of after what Bartholomew Consolidated Schools does. This is a clinic that would, result in no additional charge for our employees who utilize it. So you could get same day, next day appointments. There'll be a certain formulary for commonly used medications that will be dispensed at no additional charge to the employee, be provided on site at the clinic. And the city will pay a flat fee to Columbus Regional Health to administer the clinic. Again, very similar to what happens at Bartholomew Consolidated Schools. So we think that we've put a couple things in motion that will moderate our healthcare costs in years going forward, but for this year, we're looking at maybe a 20-21% increase in healthcare costs, and it's driving a big portion of our budget.
You touched on many projects dealing with the budget, and I know we've talked about many too, the conference center, Nexus Park appropriations. Did those have a major part of adjustment with this year's upcoming budget?
There's some money in there for Nexus Park and none in there for the river, for the conference center, hotel conference center. For Nexus Park, what we propose to do is to establish what we call a non-reverting fund that will administer the activities out there and to provide a little bit of seed money for that non-reverting fund. We've appropriate, or we, excuse me, we've requested $500,000, but I anticipate that being paid back. I don't know if we'll get it paid back by the end of 24, but certainly within 2025. It's just to allow us to begin to pay for some of the expenses in anticipation of some of the revenue that we know is coming forward. We've begun to book events for the second quarter of 2024, and we're pretty excited that, the pro formas that we put together with the help of our consultants indicate that we'll make money at Nexus Park, and so that'll give us the opportunity to pay back the 500 that I mentioned. But yeah, it's going to take a little while. Before we did Nexus Park, we went out and benchmarked several other communities that have similar kinds of facilities. And, the three takeaways that it seemed to always appear was that, the communities would tell us they should have done it sooner, they should have made it bigger, and it was busy from day one. And so we you could did it when we did it. I mean, yeah, you couldn't get it to it, couldn't get to it any sooner. We've made this as big as we can fit on the footprint that we've got, and we really do anticipate it being busy from the get-go. You know, one of the things that we've learned, I mean, in terms of talking to people in the community, is that there is a little bit of concern about just how busy the place will be. We've kind of maybe oversold a little bit the sports tourism angle of this. There will be plenty of opportunities for locals to participate in events out at Nexus Park. We're going to follow a model very similar to what we do at our softball and baseball and soccer complexes, you know, whereby, yeah, we'll have some tournaments, ticketed events, you know, on the weekends, but during the week, local organizations, local leagues, local clubs will be able to use Nexus Park. We've already talked to Havoc, which is a volleyball program out towards Hauser at Hope. We've talked to soccer, or, yeah, the Express Soccer Club, about being able to use it as a training facility or a practice facility for them. And I'm sure we'll have other uses from time to time, whether it's local pickleballers or what have you, that will come in. IUC will use it as their home court for basketball. We'll have two high school sized basketball courts and two collegiate sized basketball courts. So there'll be plenty of opportunity for locals to enjoy Nexus Park. And I understand some of the anxiety or concern that folks may have, but we rest assured we've taken that into account.
So I hear you can finally move forward on a new air traffic control tower over at the airport. I know you've been working on this with the airport for a while now. What changed?
Well, you know, a couple of things changed, and I will tell you that number one, we just continued to be persistent. You know, you just it, it's a cumulative effect, or there is a cumulative effect of ask, 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 and ask some more until they finally, you know, finally get tired of hearing you ask. But the truth is that what we have here in Columbus is the fourth busiest airport in Indiana, and the FAA has known that for some time. And they've indicated a desire to be responsive to that, particularly with respect to the tower. But part of what happened was we broke up the project into, you know, smaller pieces and made it a little bit easier for them to fund. Instead of asking for 12 million, we asked for maybe 2 million to pay for the design, and you know, another portion to pay for some of the construction. Then maybe there's a third portion that will pay for the balance, because this thing will get built over the course of a couple of years. So one was we, you know, changed our approach slightly with respect to how we ask for the money. I think that it was also important. We put in a fence a year or two ago, and the fence that we have today is what you might see, or something that you might see at a regular commercial airport. I mean, it's 8 feet tall. It's you know, got barbs up at the top. It goes 2 feet into the ground to try to prevent burrowing animals from making their way onto the runways. And it replaced a 4 foot tall barbed wire fence, you know, that just didn't keep anybody out. And so you know, our willingness to go ahead and work with the FAA to do what in essence they had requested, which was to upgrade the security at the airport, went a long way towards their willingness to continue to work with us on a new tower. So two things that, you know, that helped there. One was we broke up the ask, and then secondly, we put in the fence.
Well, I, you know, I have to ask because, you know, we're down to 3 months left as mayor. What projects are you hoping to push through? I mean, could you kind of feel like you're starting to wind down a little bit?
No, it doesn't feel like it feels like we're speeding up. You know, I just sort of joke about that. I mean, I keep looking for the glide path and I just can't find it. But we've got a few things. I mean, obviously Nexus Park is pretty dear to us in terms of you know, trying to get as much of that done as we can. Again, there'll be a good portion of it that we'll just hold over until the first quarter of next year. We continue to try to see some progress on the riverfront. I'm hopeful that we can, you know, put that out to bid yet this year. Over at the just east of here, the what we call the Taylor, you know, that project will start leasing here within I think the next 2 months. And we're still looking for a grocer for the for that component of that facility, and hopeful that we can find somebody yet, within the next few months. Flaherty and Collins, our developer, has put together a pretty attractive package for whoever might come forward to run the grocery, but we just haven't been able to find any takers yet. We've talked at length about a hotel and a conference center. The cost estimates that we've been working with are well, a little eye-popping, so I don't know that we're going to be able to move on that anytime soon, but nonetheless, a variety of projects. The hard th those kind of hard projects, sort of command some attention. But at the same time, we continue to want to spend a little time with ASAP. Mental Health Matters, which is a more recent initiative that we have put together with a hospital in the county, and in trying to find some kind of effective response for homelessness. The whole notion seems to bedevil us a bit. Homelessness has several components to it, and the part that deals with substance abuse and mental illness is particularly troublesome. I mean, just trying to find help for those people who suffer from those afflictions is difficult, and then to get those folks to accept the help sometimes is even more difficult. But with respect to folks who find themselves in a tough spot, I mean, housing's expensive, find themselves unable to afford it. We've got some meaningful options to help them get back on their way. So I'm hopeful we can, sort of enhance that a little bit, like I say, with those who suffer from substance abuse and mental health issues. But that'll keep us busy, for the next several months, and candidly on into next year. I don't know that we ever get it solved. We just hopefully find more responsive actions that we can take.
Well, in the meantime, I see you had a big turnout for, was it the Pride Festival? Good crowd for Fiesta Latina. Exhibit Columbus is underway. There's a lot going on in Columbus too, isn't there?
There is, and candidly, it's kind of exciting. I mean, from time to time, I'm told that there's not enough going on here. And this past weekend, I think I had five events on Friday and four events on Saturday, to attend. And so, yeah, the Pride Festival occurred at Millrace Park on Saturday afternoon and into the evening. And then, about the time it was over, the Fiesta Latina took over down around 4th Street. And it was neat to me to be able to see people walking back and forth, between the two. Sometimes you wonder or worry about having competing events in your community, but they seem to complement each other rather than compete. And so, yeah, it speaks well to Columbus's willingness to accept the Latino community. I want to say that we've got anywhere from 7,000 to 9,000 Latinos who live here out of a population of 50, so not quite 10%, or no, excuse me, not quite 20%. And I think most of them were down there. It was pretty well attended group, but it's just fun for me, who grew up here in Columbus and can remember what it was like back in the '60s, to see the costumes and the food and the just the fun, that those folks bring to our community. I'm glad they're here, and I'm glad they feel comfortable enough to come express their culture, in a very public setting.
I know we just have about a minute left, but I always like to leave the last minute for you. Any big announcements or anything else you'd like us to know?
Well, I presume we'll meet one more time before November 7th,
Yeah.
but just encourage people to vote. Early voting starts on the 10th, which is, about a week from today. And so, again, I want to just have everybody understand that they need to get out and make their choices known. Columbus will transition from a class two, excuse me, from a class three city to a class two city. And that means we will add two members to our Columbus City Council. And if you'd sort of look at the head count, count the heads of people who are there today and likely to run, we'll have at least four, if not five, new members come January 1. So make your choices known.
All right, thank you so much. And yes, we'll see you in November.
Take care.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye.